So hello and welcome to our Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training Coaching Call, our first one for the month of May. May has a slightly different schedule than we'll be having ongoing just because we had our retreat and the event at the beginning of the month and some other things that had already been pre-scheduled. So just to let you know, you should have gotten an email from me this morning that outlined what our intention and for the schedule is for the next 2 months, and then kind of an outline of what it'll be for the months going forward. I thank many of you who answered my request, my kind of a survey to see about times available. And when I went through that survey, of course, it wasn't complete, so some people didn't fill it in. But if you did fill it in, you got to have a say in when we have these calls. And the two times that seemed to be the best that would accommodate most people, and between the two accommodates everybody, were Wednesdays at 2 and then Thursday evenings at 7:30. So those are the two times that we've picked. Again, for May, it's a little bit different just because of the way things were already scheduled, the holiday at the end of the month, plus the event at the beginning of the month. So this month, it's going to be a Tuesday, and I don't remember if it's next Tuesday or not. But anyway, let me look. I'm looking now. Yeah, next Tuesday. So the daytime call will be today, which is 2 o'clock Wednesdays, and that's what we're targeting to do them every week, every month on. And then on the Thursday evening, typically Thursday evening call, we already had a call scheduled for that, a webinar, public webinar, so we're going to do it on the Tuesday. And then June gets a little bit closer, and then from there on, we'll be looking. If anybody has any concerns or problems with that, please let us know. But when you get a group together, it's hard to find times that everybody can come to every call. But calls, these will be recorded, and there's a place on the website, which I'm going to open up right now, so that I can make sure I know exactly where to tell you to go. Whoa, what's that? That's not where I wanted to go. We'll go to the IND website, and there's a page on there. So if you can't make the calls live, you want to go to the page that says support and then ask Dr. Rita Marie any PT coaching calls. And I'm going to open that up so that in case anybody did go there in advance to put in a question. So if ever you can't make it to a call but you've got some questions, whether it's about a client case or whether it's about the module materials, your understanding, whether it's about something related to your practice, then go ahead and post it there, and then I will answer those, and they'll be on the call, on the recording. And generally what I like to do is do those first just to get them out of the way so people who miss the call can come in and just hear that their answer to their question, and it doesn't, let's see, today is the 14th. Nope, and we already, there was one question there from Cassandra from last time. So that's an easy place for you to go. And then before we get started and I answer your questions and tell you what's ahead, I just want to make sure that you also know or got the email today that said the recordings from our live event are posted. And what we did was we added an additional navigation. I don't even know what to call those. It's a navigation bar, but additional link or drop-down menu called Events. And under that, we have listed Shine It Conference and then Practitioner Retreats. The Shine Conference videos are not yet fully moved over. They are available on the other website, and you probably have already received a link to those if you wanted to go back and watch them or review them if you were there. And under Practitioner Retreats, we do have those. And if you click that link to Practitioner Retreats on your menu bar at the top, it's going to bring you to a page that just has an index of all the Practitioner Retreats. Well, right now there's only one. So you'll click on that April 29th to May 1st link, and then it'll take you to just a very simple page that shows day 1, day 2, and day 3. And you just click on those videos, and it'll open it up in your window, and you can watch them. Some are longer than others. We did go through and take out a few of them that were like floor shots and, you know, camera started and then stopped real quickly, and there wasn't anything on it. So those were removed. So that's why some of the numbers aren't completely sequential. But we had numbered them before we went through and looked at them because it's much easier to look at them once they're on the page. So if you want to go through and see what those would be, on there is, at the bottom is materials, is the retreat schedule. So if you were there and you're thinking you want to go back and review a particular point in time, you'll at least get a sense of whether it was the earlier part or the later part of that day, and you can just quickly open some of those videos and see and get an idea. We just didn't have the resources to be able to put in and do a completely edited version of this. That could take months and a lot of resources, so we didn't do that. But for those of you who didn't make it to the retreat, this will be a great way for you to just get a feel for what it was like to be there. It's very informal, and it's just going to be very valuable as you go through. But there's also the retreat schedule, which is an index of the handouts. So there's page numbers in there, and then the second one is the retreat handouts. So in the schedule, it shows you where in the video or where in the retreat we went through that handout, and there's a page number. And then we also have a couple of handouts that we gave at the retreat, which was the Vibrant Health Roadmap and the Health Practice Roadmap. And the reason those are separate from the regular handouts is that those are more legal-sized papers. They're oriented in a landscape mode, and the best thing to do with those is to print those on a legal-sized paper. So that's it for that. We also put up the remainder of, or most of the remainder of Module 1, which is an introduction. A lot of it was stuff you may have heard me speak about at Shine, if you were at Shine, but it's shrunken down, expanded in some ways, and it's a great overview of the endocrine system, a really great overview of the endocrine system. Why am I not making it to the right page? I'm clicking and I keep clicking on the wrong link. Yeah, so there we go. Yeah, so when you get there, what you're going to see is three separate videos. They're a little longer than I'm targeting to have these videos, and I'll do a better job next time of breaking them up into more. I'd rather you have more shorter videos so that you can go in, watch a video for 20 to 30 minutes, and be done. Unfortunately, they're a little longer. The first one is about 42 minutes. The second one is 59 minutes, but the third one is only 19. So the goal is to create short nuggets that you can consume in small amounts. So in terms of the part one, part two, I just, to go back through and figure out where to break it, I couldn't find a logical break point, so I left them as is. So everything for module one is up right now with the exception of the post-test. And Mary, who many of you met at the retreat a couple of weeks ago, is working on creating that test for me, and that test should be up very soon. When you click on it, I don't know what happens now. I don't think Stacy put up the page yet. She already put the page up. It just doesn't have the link. Oh, it does. She did put up it all. So when you go there, you click on the post-test. It's going to take you to a page that says post-test and exams login area. You do have to log in because we use a separate service for the exams. It's a really cool service. It's called Exam Professor, and we're able to load up our questions, and then they will create random tests for us. We could put a bank of questions for a particular module, and we tell it how many questions we want that one to be. It'll say 25 questions, and then it'll put them up. And then it comes up on the screen really nice and very easy to follow. Format, one question on a page. You get to answer it. You get to go forward. You get to go back through your questions if you want to go back and check. You also get no time limit. So it's really, the post-tests are meant to be, yes, a test of your mastery, and yes, they're not an optional piece. They're a mandatory piece of certification. If you go for certification, you have to have passed all the tests. But the point is not to trick you, and it's also not to make them so easy that you just say, oh, I got 100% and I didn't have to think about it. It's really to test your understanding, and I expect that you're going to have to go through and review some things in the module, unless this is something that you've been working with for a long time. And it's set up that way so it makes you think, and by the end of the test, the first time through, you may not get 100, you may not get 80%, which is passing. You may get 70 or 60. Don't let that deflate you, or don't let that stress you. Just think about that as a learning opportunity. Oh, there's some things that I need to learn. The good part about the way this system is set up is that you'll also get a really cool little summary once you finished your test, you got this grade, here are the questions you missed, and here are the correct answers to those questions. So you'll get to learn that. What I recommend that you do is that if it's just a simple matter of, oh, yeah, I knew that, or, oh, yeah, I was confused, then great. Remember what that answer is, so if that question comes up the next time you take it, you'll have the answer. However, if it's something that you really weren't understanding all that well, this is your opportunity to go back into the materials and review just the pieces you don't understand. And you're welcome to take the test three times if you want to, even if you pass the first time. So if you want to go back and take it again just for practice or just for review or just to see what other questions you might get, you're welcome. Hold 1 second while I take some water. All right. Sorry about that. I'm on the fifth day, I think it is, fifth day of a green juice-only cleanse. So there's stuff trying to get at me. Okay. So let me just put it out there. Are there any questions about the exams or about the event recordings at this point? Go ahead and post those if you have any. And I'm going to go back to raise your hand. All right. Raise your hand with a 2 if you have any questions about anything that I've shared so far about the event recordings, the shine recordings, the materials from the event, especially if you missed it, or the exams. So go ahead and do a 2 if you have any questions about that. And then if you're on the web, just go ahead and type it in. Is that pretty clear? So who's excited about this prospect and this journey, about all the great stuff you get to learn? Say yes if you are. Raise your hand with a 5 if you're excited. All right. Tony, Heather, Lynn, Kieran, Steph, Ghislaine says always, yay. Anybody on the phone, let's see, 5, everybody says it. Yay, good. I'm excited about sharing it. And the more I work with this and the more I create modules, and I just think of all the things I've learned over the last 22 years that I want to share with you. And it's really hard to contain myself sometimes. It's like I want to tell you everything all at once, right? If I could just do a little brain chip and then pass it on to you, wouldn't that be cool? I've always wished that I could do that. I've always wished it not so much from the giving stand, from the taking stand. There are certain people I meet, it's just like, I want their brain. So, excuse me. Yeah, so, okay, I'm going to put your hands down, and then what I'd like you to do is let me know where you're at this point. Because one of the things I don't want to happen is that you're feeling like, oh, my God, I'm left in the dust, I'm behind, and I want to know where everybody's at and how I can help you from where you're at. The beauty of this is the way the website's set up is you can do it at your own pace. You can't get ahead because we don't have a head up yet, but you can do it at your own pace. You don't have to be feeling overwhelmed. Just take it wherever you're feeling comfortable, at whatever pace. Yeah, if you get to the point where you get, quote, unquote, behind, there'll be times to catch up. There'll be some breaks in the action in August. There'll be some breaks in the action at Christmas where we're not going to be just giving you new modules every week. A few people have asked. So go ahead and raise your hand with a 1 if you're willing to share where you're at. And if you're on the chat, just go ahead and tell me where you're at. Have you started Module 1 yet? Have you finished Module 1 and you're anxiously awaiting Module 2? Probably not because we just released Module 1, the rest of it today. Module 2 is almost complete. So the intent is for next week to release it. We've had a lot of questions about, well, how often a module is going to be released, how long are modules, and my answer is that depends. Because some modules are short and sweet, and some modules are long and complex. Now, some modules may take a month or longer to get through, and other modules may take only a week. So we're just going to be releasing them as we feel, as we feel it's comfortable. So next week you'll get module two, because module one was the overview. Don't get upset if as you go through the second video, which is the most complicated on module one, if you're finding like, oh, wow, there's so much stuff here. How am I going to remember all this thyroid stuff and all this adrenal stuff? No, it's not intended to be remembered at this point. High-level overview at this point. But I want you to have a working knowledge of where all the hormones are, where all the glands are, how they work in conjunction with each other, so you get to have a view of it. You can start using stuff right away, and you can dig. And then we'll go into way more detail later with protocols and balancing and everything. So let's see. Tony did the pretest in Module 1 first video. Steph is on the second video. Heather, Module 1 pretest attempted and the core. Something Mia didn't start yet will do. Lynn says, I've been going over the modules you sent out before it started. Yay. Okay, cool. Because that's really great, because we gave you modules that we're going to revisit later. But the modules we gave you before the program started are core functional things that you can learn at your own pace, and we will be revisiting and going over, and we went over some of that at the retreat. But those are going to be revisited because they're so foundation, which is doing a good history, doing exam stuff, or teaching people how to do an exam, and then looking at labs. The labs will be going over in excruciating detail, but it was really exciting to hear from Rita Brown, who's a nurse, last week, and she was saying that she's been going through that lab assessment piece and then looking at all the labs of her patients in her clinic, in her, hospital outpatient clinic, and learning a lot that way. So just take all those pieces at your own pace and then try to keep up with the new modules as we're adding them. But again, if you have your vacation, you have things going on, just take it at your own pace. We'll have time for catch up. So Kieran said, I've started Module 1 and started going through the amazing resources in the Vibrant Living. I do get overwhelmed as I just graduated from IIN. Can you share some additional reading material? Help me get the basics. Great. So when you say the basics, Kieran, just really clarify that. Do you mean the basics of anatomy and physiology? Do you mean the basics of nutrition and cell metabolism? What is it that you want to get the basics of? Because IIN, I would consider IIN the basics, and what you got in IIN should prepare you for what I'm going to go through. Because what I'm going to show you is I'm going to go through review for a lot of people on basic anatomy, physiology, and pathophysiology, but for some of you it's new. So I really don't want to just jump in expecting that you already know where all your organs and glands even are. You know, I want to really review that, what their functions are, and we'll get to that as we get to the individual modules. So as far as reading for, I'm not sure exactly what you mean. IIN is broad and just skims the surface, yeah. So be a little clearer about what you want for basics. You want basics of nutrition, which we're going to cover in modules 3 through 5, which is going to be the vitamins, the minerals, the antioxidants, how all those fit together, protein, carb, fat, and really giving you a sound basis of nutrition, fundamental overview, and then you're going to go into way more detail. Lynn says that when she went to IIN, there was a pre-module that covered the anatomy. Do you have that? You know, the other thing is someone told me recently, let me write a note to myself to look that up, about an online anatomy and physiology class that David Winston recommends for people who don't have a strong anatomy and physiology background before they go into his program. So, Lynn, is that an ability, is that something that you can share with Kieran, maybe offline, how to get that? That would be really cool, how to get that pre-module. And also, I'll find this anatomy and physiology thing. It had a cost, but it was a very small cost, and it was supposedly equivalent to taking a basic anatomy physiology course at a university. Okay, great. So let's see. Lynn, I've been going over the modules you sent before it started. Steph, I've watched the first two videos and will need to review before I move on. Great. The second video is loaded with information, and again, like I said, you'll be getting way more. I really believe that we learn best when we get a high-level picture, an overview, and then we dig down deep. So at the high level picture, all of those slides that we had in part two, which are the individual hormone families and all those hormones, don't worry about memorizing those right now. You're going to look those up when you need to, the more advanced ones, and we're going to go into way more detail of them. But really understanding what the major hormone players in for each of the families. So, for example, the thyroid family, the metabolism family, excuse me, the major players are your thyroid hormones, so T3, T4, and TSH. Really good that you have a working knowledge of what those are in general, like I said in there. Again, we'll go into a lot more detail with thyroid. Adrenals, what are the major players? Well, cortisol and adrenaline are your major players, and DHEA. So just remember that the stress hormones are adrenaline, cortisol, and DHEA. So that's the level that you really need to have at this point. I went into more detail, but I did reiterate several times that we're going to go into way more detail on this later. Okay? Mia said there's anatomy flashcards that she loves, so Kieran, make sure you jot down that link. And what we'll do is if there's anybody that's on the phone, let me see if there's anybody. Yeah, there's some people that are on the phone but not on the web. What we typically do is when we have these robust chats with lots of links, we're going to copy this. So before it's over, I'll copy it, I'll put it into a Word file, and then we'll put that up on the recordings page. All right, let's see, any other comments? Oh, wow. Lynn has several free resources because she homeschools and teaches her kids anatomy. So cool. And, yes, those videos, I'll always add some videos whenever there's some appropriate. So there's those good endocrinology ones. In the digestion one, I have a whole bunch of YouTube videos that show you the insides of the guts and how it looks. And so I'm adding a lot of that background for those of you who don't have as much of the anatomy physiology and need to review it. Good for you, Heather. Heather says she watches and listens to the videos while she's doing other things. But that's great. So, yeah, make sure you click on those links that Lynn is providing to flashcards and Mia's to flashcards and Lynn to the anatomy course. So let's hear from Glenn, who has his hand up.
All right. I think your line is open now, Glenn.
Can you hear me?
I can. Great.
I watched almost all of the second video.
Great.
And I have a question about the post-test.
Yep.
Do we have three chances to pass? Is that the way it works?
Yeah. It's an open book, and it's 80% is passing. And you have three chances to pass it. And so I expect that you'll open your books and it'll be a learning experience. And that if you don't pass it on the first time, you're going to get those questions that you got wrong will be displayed to you. And it will say, this is the question that you didn't get right. This is the right answer. And then you'll have the opportunity then to just say, oh, maybe I'm missing some piece of this component. Let me go back and review that. And then you get to do it again in the third time.
Okay.
Okay? And I suggest that you do them shortly after you actually do the module because then you will have that fresher in your mind.
All right.
And then the software will keep track of who's taken them and who's passed, and that way when comes time for certification, you know, many months down the road, I'll have all that on record. So it would be fine. Okay. Did you have any questions about the material in there?
No.
Super. Yeah. Did you find that some of it was a review from Shine?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, a lot of it's a review.
Good. And we're going to repeat things. We'll repeat things for you because it takes repetition to really sink it into your memory. And maybe on the third or fourth time, it'll suddenly start to sink in, and you'll remember it as well as you know your kid's name. But it takes a while to get there.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else want to share? I want to open your line, Pamela Needs, because I want to ask you, because you're a returning member, and I want to make sure that you've got access to the site now. I don't know if you had just gotten it, because I've been talking to Scott about getting it, and I wasn't sure if you've got it yet. So do you have access? Did you get an email that said, hey, you have access to the site?
Yes, I have access.
Okay. Have you had it before,
yep.
or did you just get it recently?
I had it before, but I think it was either yesterday or today I got another email that you now have access. So I was like, but I had it before, so
okay,
but it was
good.
Fine.
I thought you had it before, but Scott was unclear as to whether he'd already given it to you, and I added two more names for him to give it to. So
yes, I am all set.
We did everybody. So, okay. Great.
Thank you.
And did you get your goodie bag yet from Shine? You know, and he was going to send you some stuff. So you should check your mail, because I think he sent it on Wednesday.
No, I did not. There was an email, I believe, today with some. No, I did not get the Shine videos, no.
Okay. Yeah, so because you had signed up for everything and the Shine videos not, but he sent you something in the mail when you couldn't come at the last minute. So watch out for it.
I think
it's a feedback from Shine.
Okay.
Okay?
I will. Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's see. If we use your questionnaires, I'm assuming you need to have your copyright on them. I would prefer that, Lynn, because it's just good to give credit to where it came from. So you're welcome to
use the questionnaires. It's hard to use my questionnaires as is because they are web-based, most of them, although I did give you some in PDF and Word format. And you're probably going to want to take a few questions from here and take a few questions from there. So sometimes some of the questions they're public domain questions, right? You know, do you have fatigue in the middle of the afternoon, right? But it's the way that they're set up. So if you create your own format using mine, you can do that. You can say, you know, adapted from or something like that. But if you're looking at making them online from your website, then you're probably going to pick and choose. But if you're using exactly what I'm putting out there or like 80% of what I've put out there, put adapted from or, you know, courtesy of or whatever. That's all. No problem. Because they're not, you know, it's not exactly proprietary. If you're talking about my handouts, that's different. Like if you take a handout that I've created on, you know, how to balance your fats and your diet, then I would say, yes, I definitely want my copyright on it. But the questionnaires is not so bad, not so important. All right. So who has questions? Who has comments? Who would like to discuss a patient or client's case? Who has questions about the module materials? How can I support you in the time that we have together this afternoon? So if you have questions and you're on the phone, go ahead, or comments, go ahead and raise your hand with a star. Not a star, sorry, I keep doing that, with a two. Go ahead and raise your hand with a two if you have a question or comment. And I see that Jane just joined us. Let me say hello. Hello, Jane.
Hello.
Hi, I don't know how long you've been on, but it looks like you just joined us. So we just went over the fact that the videos are out there from the retreat and the fact that we've got the modules up and opened it up for anybody having any questions and sharing where you are with the modules. Have you started? Have you have any questions, concerns, comments, et cetera? So if you do, just speak now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Did you have me?
Oh, I'm on. Okay, sorry about that. I didn't realize I was on. So I'm actually on vacation, but this is my week before I actually get really going next week. So, but I do have a question about a client.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple. A couple of clients. One who actually just signed up on the CAFE program. So we're going to get her going. I guess the question is that she's been on many rounds of antibiotics She had a cancerous tumor removed in her face, which she did not have to have chemotherapy or radiation for. And then after that, she caught mononucleosis and one other really heavy-duty autoimmune disease. And I work with a nurse also doing enzyme therapy, and we've been able to somewhat strengthen her digestive system so she's assimilating nutrients better. But the problem is that she has these roving infections all around her body. And so every time you turn around, the doctor's putting her on another round of antibiotics. And so we're having a hard, and then we have to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, how, I quite don't know where actually to begin with her as far as keeping her immune system really strong with all these rounds of antibiotics, and these infections keep rotating in different areas of her body. Either she's got a kidney infection, now she's got an inner ear and sinus infection, and it just keeps roaming.
Wow. Okay, so you said that you've looked at her digestion. What have you done to balance her digestion? Is she active?
Well, we've done diet. We've increased her plant-based diet a lot. We have done digestive enzymes, lots of different digestive enzymes on her. We've got her on probiotics. We've actually tried different strains of probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think because, I apologize. I don't even have her
chart
with me right now.
No,
and she's in crisis right now. She's contacting me while I'm on vacation.
Oh, wow. Ugh. It's tough. It's tough because when they keep going on the antibiotics, you don't have the opportunity to rebuild their immune system, and all the things that you're doing are going and backtracking again. So
right.
About the diet, though, is she being strict about certain things? It's hard when you're moving people to new diets, but there's certain things. She's got a depressed immune system that she needs to be off of sugar, juices, dried fruit, even most fruit for a while, and then grains.
She's all grains or just wheat?
I would say quinoa would be okay. But other than that, I think they're going to feed, they're too high glycemic. And unless she's tested her blood sugar to see that she can eat a bowl of brown rice and not have her sugar go above 100, then that's going to be feeding the infection. That's going to be depressing the immune system. So I would say gluten for sure, 100%.
She's off of that. She's off gluten and dairy.
Great. Gluten, dairy, and then the sugars. Really look at the sugars that she's taking in, because people think they're on a sugar-free diet, but they're drinking fresh squeezed carrot juice or apple juice or orange juice or something like that. So things that we think sound like they're healthy, but really aren't. Or she's throwing raisins in her salad, or she's doing any number of things with that contain concentrated sugars. So I would say I would get her off of all grains with the exception of quinoa.
Okay. And then what about green juice? I'm assuming green juice is okay.
Green juice is fine, but also have her drink it slowly. Because I found for myself that if you drink it fast, and most people don't do what I do, as I make a quart of green juice and then drink it down in 15 minutes, that raises my blood sugar. But I've been doing a green juice cleanse, and I just nurse my green juice, drink it very slowly, and it doesn't raise my sugar much above 80, 85. Okay.
Well, I know that she has adrenal fatigue, definitely. So, and I know that we'll be pulling her off of the sugar for sure. She's got that inner leg, real painful inner in between her knees,
mm-hmm.
on the inside of her knees. And she's got, when she gets these infections, she gets really bad vertigo.
Yeah. And just the infections themselves are a stress on her adrenals. Right. Every time your body is in an infection mode, that's a stress on the adrenal system. So that's taxing her big time. You could get the adrenal stress index, see where she's at, and kind of place her. But I would say, as a starting point, the other thing is to look at breakfast, because that's where people tend to mess up, and they have a really high-carb breakfast, and that screws them up for the day.
Breakfast,
She is going to do a grain like quinoa, have it later in the day, or buckwheat's another one that's probably okay. Although I've had a few people that have had really high sugar spikes on buckwheat. So, but it just depends. So I would just really make sure she's getting a good source of protein in the morning. That doesn't mean it has to be bacon and eggs. It can be a green juice with protein powder in it. It could be chia seeds and green juice, but things, hemp seeds, things like that. It could be a really good plant-based breakfast, but that's high in protein and low in carbs compared
yeah.
to typical, you know, have the toast and orange juice breakfast.
What's the best probiotic to use? I've got her on a probiotic right now that's an acidophilus that the antibiotics won't kill, but after that, what do you recommend?
There's a number of them that I like. There's a really potent one that I just discovered from Seeking Health that has about, I think it's 100 billion organisms per quarter teaspoon, and it's a mixed strain, so it's got a lot of different strains in it.
What was the name of that? I missed that.
Seeking Health, seekinghealth.com.
Seeking Health, okay.
The other one I like that I use personally is the one from Health Force Nutritionals, and it's called Friendly Force.
Okay.
And there's a few others. Where do I show that? It's in modules you haven't gotten to yet. But, it's in modules you haven't gotten to yet. But that the other thing is that I find when they're on the antibiotics, if you can be doing super physiologic doses of probiotics between the doses. So if she say she's taking the antibiotics in the morning and the evening, then you would give her, like, right in the middle of the day, you would give her a huge dose of probiotic, as much as she could tolerate. You could build her up to it. Obviously, some people get diarrhea when you put too much too fast. But that way,
uh-huh.
when the probiotics come in, when the antibiotics come in later, they're killing off the flora, but you've so super saturated it that she still has a fighting chance to have some good bacteria down there.
Okay.
Okay. The other thing that's important, and we'll go way more into this in the digestive module, is there's certain spore forms of Acidophilus. And Acidophilus sporogenes, or is it, you know, it's not an Acidophilus, but it's a sporogenes. And I think they have it.
Yeah.
Is that the one you're using?
Yeah, it's a sporogenes that doesn't get killed by the antibiotics.
Exactly. And that's not a resident flora. It doesn't take residence there, but it competes with everything else. So that's why that's a good one to be putting in. But you still need to be giving her the residence, the stuff that should be living there. So if you're just giving her
okay.
the sporogenes in between meals, in between antibiotic doses, I would also give her a broad spectrum and just really
okay.
hope that, you know, if you give them enough, then enough of it's going to stay to keep protecting her. And then finally,
right.
when she gets through a course of antibiotics, that's when you do what I label a probiotic implant. It's like huge doses. There have been a number of actual medical studies that showed that giving people 400 billion organisms a day for 4 days to a week has done tremendous benefits for the immune system. So you would build up to that if she can't take it all at once, obviously, you know, hard to just dump in 400 billion and expect their bowels to stay steady. But you can build her up to that. And usually what I do is I have people start with a dose that they're comfortable with. You know, say it's 50 billion organisms, go up to 100, go up to 150, 200, and just keep building it up till you get to that 400. Keep them at the 400 for 4 days to a week, depending on the severity. And in this case, I would say a week because she's been on antibiotics over and over. And then you can gradually
yeah.
taper it down. And with someone like her, I would say her maintenance dose should probably be in the 100 billion organisms a day minimum for a while, you know, for a couple of months to really keep her levels up. In the meantime, though, are you giving her vitamin C?
Yes.
How much?
I don't remember. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay. So look at the amount of vitamin C, and don't be afraid to just keep raising it till you get to bowel tolerance. Okay, hugely beneficial. If she has access to an MD who's willing to give her some IVC, that would be a great approach instead of antibiotics when these infections take in. IVC can kick out an infection in 24 to 48 hours if it's done
right.
So looking at that, and especially if you're working with a nurse, maybe she has some strings to pull to get her on some IVC.
Okay.
I mean, I've seen massive studies with, like, looking at people's lungs that were completely clogged over, clouded over with infection, and then on, I think it was about 26 grams of IVC every 6 hours. Within 48 hours, those lungs were completely clear. And there, that was in a medical journal. I pulled that article to share with a doctor that was treating my brother-in-law when he was dying to say, look, this, you know, just try this. What has he got to lose?
Right.
He died, you know. So, yeah, so that would be really critical. And especially, you know, it's not such a severe infection. Like when it's deep in the lungs like that in a immune-depleted person, for that to turn around in 48 hours, it's just her immune system hasn't had a fighting chance because she just keeps knocking it down with the antibiotics. Okay, and I'm going to throw a couple more things in here. I hope this isn't too much, but vitamin D. So many people are walking around with their vitamin D levels at 20, and your immune system can't function. I have seen studies, and I think Mercola published a couple of these a few years ago when the whole the swine flu thing was going around. And he talked about how if you take, it's approximately equivalent to your weight, it's like 95% of your weight in vitamin D dose for 3 days in a row, it was knocking out viral infections. The swine pig, which was pretty, you know, pretty potent at the time. A lot of people were dying from that. So I would say, you know, I don't know what she weighs, but if you were to do 100 IUs of vitamin D, 100,000 IUs of vitamin D for 3 days, of course you want to drop it down after that because you don't want to go into vitamin D toxicity, but that could be very helpful as well. Even if you don't know her vitamin D level, it's not going to hurt her for 3 days, and it could be something that just helps her get over these infections quickly.
Yeah, she actually, her vitamin D levels have been tested, and they were actually above normal.
What's above normal?
I don't remember. Like I said, I don't have my chart. I don't remember what it was. The doctor actually took her off. The doctor took her off.
It's normal, not the hospital doctor normal. Like they'll say it's fine if it's above 35. Somebody with chronic infection like that, you really want them to be in the 90 to 100 range.
Okay.
Okay? So if it's not, then for sure, bump her up on that. Okay?
Great.
Does that help?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Oh, and yeah, liposomal C is what Steph is talking about, too. I always forget about liposomal C because I haven't been using it. I hardly ever have used it myself. But liposomal C is a really good anti-infection as well. So you can do that in the range of, Steph saying 5 grams is what she does. And, yes, it does taste gross, doesn't it? But you could put some peppermint oil in it or something and scarf it down quickly. And vitamin C liposomal you can make yourself if you go on YouTube. There's some videos on how to do that. Okay. Steph, did you have your hand up again, or did I just forget to put it down?
I'm good. Thank you.
Sorry. Okay, you're good. Okay. Yeah, so thanks, Steph. Rukmini says, when can we start the green cleanse as NEPT members? Well, we are about to send out emails to everybody that gets entitled to it for free, and you'll just have to click on the link, and that'll give you access. So we should be definitely within less than a week we'll be having that email sent out. My goal is to have it out by the end of this week, but I think they're having a little stuff on the back end in terms of getting it ready. So, yep, you can start that, and then we're doing an official green cleanse in starts June 9th, I believe, the pre-cleanse week, and then the cleanse is the week after that, and then the post-cleanse week, and you'll get to, you know, get the emails and be guided through that. But you'll get access to the site in advance. Let's see what else. Mia, the person I'm working on with hypothyroid now got diagnosed with candida. She's keen to change her diet. Do you have any tips on combining protocols for thyroid and a candida diet? Think if we work on the gut, like starting with HCL testing, suspecting low HCL, and also she only has one salivary gland, and food sensitivity testing. What do you think? Yeah, so Mia, the first thing I would do with somebody who has a thyroid problem and a candida problem is make sure they're off of sugar, and like I said to Jane, all the sugar derivatives and anything that's going to be glycemic. Get her off of gluten and any grains, except with the exception of, say, quinoa. I think if you look at the Body Ecology Diet or the Rainbow Green Diet by Gabriel Cousins, both of those have decent protocols. The body ecology is it includes some animal-based products, and the Gabriel Cousins ones does not. So those are good bases is for anti-candida. And also for the thyroid. The thyroid, anybody that has a thyroid problem and has is on gluten is asking for trouble because the thyroid doesn't like gluten. So that's a biggie.
I would say also, you know, I'm not a big fan of food sensitivity testing. I just generally look at get them off the top six, gluten, dairy, soy, corn, eggs, and peanuts. The reason I'm not so keen on it is that I did a lot of it when I first got into practice. I was all excited about food sensitivity testing. And then when I started seeing people come back with 27 foods that they were sensitive to, it's like, well, getting people off of 27 foods is challenging. And then they'd go off those foods, and then they'd come back, and they'd be another 27 foods, different ones. And reason is that a lot of it is leaky gut. So if you got to clean up the gut for thyroid. You got to clean up the gut for candida. So they're beautifully aligned. They're supposed to be, if you haven't signed up for the thyroid sessions, check my email this morning with a link, because someone was supposed to be speaking today about the connection between thyroid and gut. Okay, so cleaning up their gut, cleaning up their food, always start with the basics of the food cleaning up. And then making sure that they are not having any food reactions. So I would just get them off the top six, inquire about ones that they may have had problems to in the past. And we'll have a whole food sensitivity provocation thing as we go through. So I would do that, and I would look at, do they have symptoms of leaky gut, and how can you heal that up? So things that are supportive of the gut to start with. So I would say, slippery elm is a good place to start. And glutamine is a good thing to give people to clear their leaky gut, but make sure that they are not prone to anxiety and excitability and distraction, because then they could make that worse in some susceptible people. Okay, so those are the places that I would start, and please feel free to come back and ask me questions on that or get on the phone and we can chat about it in person. I know you're at work, so let me see if I missed any questions before that. So Glenn asks, in the second video, you said that problems with the kidneys can cause sleep problems. Will you explain in more detail, or will you offer more in the future? I think I'd rather do that in the future because there's too much complexity behind it to make those connections, and we will go through that later in the sleep pieces. Just so a quick confirmation. Can you say based on the work of Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo? That's fine. That's fine, Steph. Yeah, that's fine. Mia says, okay, I got that question. Ruth Meany, I wonder when we start the green cleanse. I got that question. Heather, I just submitted my first accountability journal. Is there a place where we can see a log of our own journal entries, or those just get submitted as an email to your team? You should get an email back. And if you didn't, let us know, because when you submit your accountability journal, then you get an email back that says, hi, Heather, thank you for submitting this. Here's a copy of what you put in. So, yeah, you can keep track of that. We can't do that on the website because that would require us creating a page for every person, and I wouldn't even know where the technology began with that. So we're not going to do that, but we definitely send it back to you. Tony says, I've recommended bone broth soup for someone diagnosed with prostate cancer who's not willing to make or consume green juices. He's elderly and is used to eating brown food. Yeah, I mean, you've got to work with people where they're at. And there's a lot of good nutrition in bone broth, and it's familiar to people. It's not something I care to do. I'd much rather drink my green juices. But we're working with various people in the population. And so you've just got to go with them and get them to get as much good nutrition in them as possible, right? And you talk to them about, making sure that if they're eating meat and they're making bone broth, that they're getting organic meat, and, you know, you talk to them about that. So there's a lot of things you can do with that. Heather, oh, good, you did get it. Mia says, can you introduce me to Sean Croxton? He's awesome. And I hardly know him. I've only met him recently, but let's, you know, how do you want me to introduce him? Is there a particular thing that you want to chat with him about? Usually if I'm going to make an introduction between two people, like a friend of mine made an introduction to Sean. She said, hey, Sean, I know you're doing a thyroid summit, and I know somebody who knows an amazing amount about thyroid. I think you should interview her. And I said, great, and we chatted, and that's how I got on that summit. So there has to be some sort of a connection. Like I could say, hey, Sean, this is Mia. She thinks you're awesome. I'd love to connect you two. But it depends. Do you think he's awesome because you want to date him, or because you think he's awesome because you want to see, you know, just like pick his brain, or do you want to be an affiliate for him or whatever? Linda Buer Johnson, I know I posted this on the Facebook page, but does anyone here have advice? You know, I was going to go look up, I had some resources on vitiligo, and I haven't looked that up yet, but vitiligo, generally considered an autoimmune disease, so anything related to autoimmune and building up the autoimmune condition. So fatty acid balance, big key. Omega-3, 6 balance. Most kids, even if they're healthy, vegan, raw food kids, are going to be eating fats usually way out of balance on their omega-6 and 3. So checking your omega-6s, checking your omega-3s, and see what that balance is. Use the spreadsheet, which should be, was the spreadsheet, have I given you that spreadsheet yet? Oh, my Lord. There's so many worms and holes here. It's like, I think what I'm going to do is create a resource page. And then as we get to resources that you will be introduced to later, but I think they would be helpful now, I think we'll just put them on there. Let me make a note of this in my trusty little notebook. So resource page. And that way as we go through the program and we go through modules, if there's particular pieces in each module that I want you to have quick access to without having to remember which module it was introduced in, you'll have access. So I'm going to put in the Omega 3-6 spreadsheet. Okay. I'll probably put the lab spreadsheet there too. So as we go through, I'll just keep adding to this page and I'll add it to Stacy's to-do list. So good. So yeah, so data bombing in California. Okay. I will see what I can do. Let me think about that off the call, Mia, and I'll let you know. So, so the vitiligo. So vitiligo, autoimmune, so you want to look at inflammatory processes. Whenever anybody has inflammation anywhere in their body, anywhere, you want to look at fats because that's the most common imbalance we see in people. Even though people eat, in general, too much fat, the fats they're eating are not the right kind of fat. So switching it off, making sure they're on that, making sure she's on a good source of EPA, DHA. And I'm not sure how that works for rubbing it into the skin, but you can certainly pop open flax oil or preferably algae oil and put it on her skin. There is a brand called Opti-3 that if you want a vegan source of the omega-3s, otherwise good, like, Nordic Naturals fish oil. But I think possibly if you rub it on the areas, it might help. I know it has to do with pigmentation and also, you know, the connection there is pituitary. So I'd be looking at stress. I'd be looking at her adrenals, getting a check on her thyroid. All of these things can have an effect. Then a lot of folks, a lot of docs are not going to look at those things. They're just going to look at treating the symptoms. But if you think about it, metabolic rate certainly has a result on it. If the pituitary is constantly stressed because it's got adrenal stress and thyroid stuff going on, you're going to have issues with other parts of the pigment of the pituitary, and the melanin is produced by the posterior pituitary. So that's what I have for now, and I'll see. I know I had a resource, like a chart, a list that I can share as well. Anybody else? See if I missed any others. Great.
Well,
if you guys don't have any other questions or comments, we can finish up 5 minutes early. Jane.
Sorry, ask my question. Okay. All of this, being so early in the program, it all seems so premature, but I just have some clients who are just so sick. And I've got one who I've known her for a couple of years, but haven't been involved in her care. Well, actually about 3 or 4 years, but haven't been involved in her care since I left California. And she got leukemia as I was closing down my business. And she's been to Hippocrates. She's been to doctors. She's spent thousands and thousands and thousands of money. And nobody is, she's really back at square one and has a lot of information. So that information about, you know, the fats was good. But her, what she came to me originally was for gut issues, and nobody has repaired it.
Mm-hmm.
And she even stated to me this week that one of the things she, in doing classes like Pilates, she said she did Pilates religiously for an entire year and never toned. I am assuming, and I don't know, that that is possibly an improper uptake of nutrients and especially amino acids in the body is what I'm guessing. And I'm assuming that what you told me before with my previous client is probably going to hold true with this one as far as gut rebuilding.
I would for sure go to gut rebuilding, and then you want to look at her adrenals too, because it could be also. Remember that chart I did with the grandma at the top and the stress stealing away the precursors from the sex hormones? If she's working on building muscle, but she's not doing it, it could be an absence of protein and amino acids, but it can also be an imbalance in androgen hormones. So she may not have enough DHEA or testosterone to be able to create the muscle. So I would look at the adrenals and the stress and the gut right away.
Okay, which is where I was going anyway. The adrenals, I just don't, it's so early in the program, I really don't have a good handle on yet.
Yeah, well, we should have opened, I asked Scott to open you up in that to that cafe module. So hopefully
you did that. Yeah, I'm starting in that.
Okay, good. Yeah. That'll give you a good understanding of that. Okay, and understand that's from a layperson's perspective, but I tend to give a lot of information to people in the module we'll do on our, within the program. It'll be much more detailed in terms of the protocols. You'll get a lot from that. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of information there. There's also a tremendous amount of information on the adrenals and the thyroid in the Shine handouts. And you guys who were at Shine were, blown away by some of those charts. We had 110 pages worth of handouts in there. So you may want to look at that, because there's some charts that are in the CAFE program possibly, maybe not to that extent, because this was more practitioner-based. So I would go to the Shine videos, and the videos should be up soon. But I think that, I'm pretty sure that Stacy already put up the handouts from it on that page. So you may want to look at that. And then the Shine videos should be moved over. If you don't have, look on the site where you have the cafe on the consumer site, and see if you have the Shine videos there. Because if you don't, then we need to open that up. Because all of you should have access to that on the previous site. It just hasn't been all moved over. Okay? And then you can look at some of the adrenal pieces in there. They're spattered throughout the days. Okay?
Great. Great. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome.
And then Glenn. Wait. I got to open you. Hold on. Okay. Good. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hello.
Hi.
I haven't done any accountability journal.
There is on the site, there's a monthly accountability journal. And where do we find it? Under support. So what I'm asking you to do, it's totally optional, but that's how you can stay in touch with me and I can know where you're at and where you need help and support you best on these calls. So you may not even know what the right question to ask is, but if I get some information from you, I can tell. So if you go under the support tab, the fourth one down, it says monthly accountability journal. And it basically asks you a few questions about what's a success over the last month, something you want to celebrate. And I made that mandatory rather than optional because there's always something to find to celebrate. right? A new client, success of the client, finishing the module, passing the test, having an enrollment conversation, talking to somebody at the supermarket about the fact that you're a health coach, talking to a family member and helping them with something. I want you to dig here, because if you're not actively seeing clients yet, then I want you to just dig and find something that you've done related to your health coaching that you can say is a success. And then what challenges do you have, right? How can I support you? What module are you working on? What are you enjoying about the module? Are you having challenges? What new insights have you learned from your studies so far? And the last questions are all, they're optional. You don't have to answer those, but you can. But the one I really wanted for sure, I wanted your success and your challenges. And then the last is, which is not optional, I want everybody to fill in. What's one action you're committed to taking over the next month to support you in growing your clinical skills and or your practice? So that could be, I am going to call one person that I chatted with last month and just talk to them and see how they're doing with their health. I mean, it could be so many other things depending on where you are in your practice. And then any comments. So if I get these from you guys once a month, whatever works for you, it doesn't have to be all at once. In fact, it's probably best if they're not all at once. But I'll go through them, and then I will comment back if appropriate, and I will talk to you about those stuff on the call. So that's my way of keeping up with you. You don't have to do them, but like I said, I certainly recommend it. And then, yeah, that's it. I wonder why. That's interesting, that page. Okay, I'll make a note of that. There's something interesting at the bottom of that page, and I'm not sure if it's supposed to be there or not. All right, so does that help?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, does that answer your question?
Yes, so it's on the website under support?
Yep, support tab, and it says accountability journal.
Okay, and it's optional? You said except for one part is not optional?
Doing it is optional. I prefer to have you do it because I really want to keep tabs, but there's some questions on there that are optional and some questions on there are mandatory. Because by hook or by crook, I don't care how, you know, down and out you might feel, I want you to look for something positive because that's what we're here for. And that's the things you got to be able to help your clients with too. So that's why I'm doing it. So we model what we want our clients to be focusing on.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Super. All right. Thanks. Anybody else? I see that Kieran says, yes, we have access to the Shine videos and resources. Super. So Tony says she finds these calls very helpful. Thank you. Steph says this was awesome. So thank you all for being here, for taking time out of your day. And the whole goal of this is to just keep you inspired and motivated, you know, just going. And the way this program is set up, you have something you can get in touch with me on every week, some kind of call or resource or webinar or whatever, and it'll be that way throughout the program, whether it's something in this or whether it's Vital or whether it's in some other place in the program. All right? So thank you very much. Have a great rest of the afternoon. Enjoy, and we'll talk to you soon. I'll talk to you next week, actually. Bye-bye now.